This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9's multicultural programme. The Orange Ribbon is a symbol used across Australia to represent multiculturalism, anti-racism and international understanding. Welcome to Orange Ribbon. Today we're talking to Rafa from Mexico. We'll be talking about his life in Mexico, coming to Australia, and about the group he has formed to help other newcomers to Australia, amigosv.com.au.
Hey everybody, I'm Barb here with Mark and Rafa. How you doing?
Very good.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah, here waiting.
Hopefully not too scared.
No, not at all. You're cool people, so... I don't know about the ones listening, but I know you guys.
all of our listeners are cool. Don't need to worry about them.
Yeah. So, well, that makes me feel better. Yeah.
So welcome
Shouldn't
to the
be
show.
Scared then.
Welcome to the show, Rafa.
Thanks.
So just give us a little bit of introduction about yourself. Whereabouts are you from in Mexico?
I'm from a city called Monterrey. Mm-hmm. That's where I've been living. Although I was born in Mexico City. Yeah. This is a city that it's in the north of Mexico. Very close to Texas, about 2 hours away from the border.
Uh-huh. And so how long were you living in Monterrey?
About 12 years.
Yep. And how about your family?
My family is from this city. Uh-huh. Like my grandparents, uncles, everyone's from there. Yep.
Yeah. And how did you sort of find growing up there?
Well, like I said, I didn't grow up there. Right, it's just like the later stage of my life where I spent my time in the city.
Yeah.
When I think about that city, I got there when I was about 15. Uh-huh. It was a bit tough because it was very different to the other places I have lived in. It's a very industrial city, bit materialistic in some ways. Yeah. So that was a bit of a shock.
Yeah. Yeah. So why is that different to the other cities you were living in, do you think?
Down in the center of Mexico, people can be a bit more relaxed. Uh-huh. They don't play so much value in material things as do people in the north. I think the proximity to the states could play a bit of a part in that.
Yeah. So that, well, just being close to the border sort of thing, is it?
Could be, yeah. It's a bit different over there than in the center of Mexico.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cool.
And how did you find yourself living in Melbourne?
Good question. I came here 4 years ago. I wanted to live for a while outside of Mexico. Wanted to grow as a person, face the challenge of being somewhere new. Mm-hmm. I also wanted to develop artistically. So, and to do all these things, I needed to get out. And there were three countries where I was going to have the possibility of getting legal work. Uh-huh. And these countries were New Zealand, Canada, and Australia. And from those three, I chose Australia.
Okay. And so you chose Australia. So how did you then end up choosing Melbourne?
I read things about Melbourne and Sydney, which were my two choices, being the largest city. Mm-hmm. And what I read about Melbourne is that it was very vibrant, that there were a lot of students, that it was a good city to live in with good public transport. Everything I read seemed amazing about Melbourne.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. And how did you define yourself? Are you gay, single, straight, partnered, all of the above?
A bit of everything, I guess. Uh-huh. No, I'm into guys, obviously, uh-huh. Always have been. I'm single at the moment, but have a lot of love in my life. I have to say, admit, there's a special someone that that I love a lot here in Melbourne.
Okay.
At the moment, there's also someone I talk with and write a lot of messages with that lives in Mexico.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, on this romantic note, I want to play Rafa's first music choice.
Sounds good.
And then we'll come back and continue talking with him. You're on Joy 94.9, The Orange Ribbon, with Mark, Barb, and our guest Rafa. Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9 with Mark and Barb and our guest Rafa. And if you wanted to talk to Rafa at all, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au.
And speaking of that, we've had a few messages in, haven't we?
We have.
So first of all, we've had a message that says, "Hey guys, great to hear we're back on air and great to hear Mark and Barb on with such an interesting guy with a sexy accent."
Woohoo.
I don't know who they're talking about.
Well, must be you.
We've also had a message from Hugh, who says, "Enjoying the show all the way from Goa, sun, sand and sea." You've got an S there as well. There's another one, isn't there, Hugh?
35 degrees in Goa today. And he thinks our guests sound sexy too. So that's two votes for the sexiness of Rafa.
Yeah, so Rafa, thanks for coming back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So that track we just played, what was that?
That's Thalia, Mexican artist, and that song is from way back, probably when I was, I think, 13, 14. Yeah, an 90s song.
It's a bit of an old school, isn't it?
Yeah.
And why did you choose that song?
I just got him back to hearing it. Yes. It's sort of like reappeared in my life. And it's got a funny story behind it. Yes. It's actually a track I used to love back then. And I had a videotape recording of the artist performing the song. And it was before, I knew I was attracted to men, but I haven't had sex. I was too young. Right. And loved the song. And what I used to do is I would take the video recording, like put it in my room, close the door, and I would look at it and sing and try to imitate her. I thought she was very sexual, and I wanted to be that way. I was actually trying to imitate her. I didn't know back then, but I was basically doing what a drag queen does without ever having seen one. And yeah, that was my childhood. Yep.
So that was me. How old are you then?
13 or 14. It was at that age. Yeah. I even asked for that CD as a Christmas gift. My parents didn't have a clue. They gave it to me.
Oh? Did you go as far as finding some women's clothes to put on while you were singing?
No, I really didn't feel I needed it. It was more about the feel.
Yep.
Like just the feel that I saw in her that I wanted to get into me. I didn't feel like I needed clothes.
Yep.
There was no one else.
So you were naked?
No. I did have some. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's one of your earliest memories then, is it? Sort of a gay sort of.
Well, when it comes to things I like doing, like dancing and pop music, yeah, it's one of those memories that it's fun, it's gonna stay.
And it's a pretty good old school track as well.
It's pretty good. I have a friend here that likes it a lot, which is kind of interesting. He's younger and different culture, but he gets it.
So back then, was there much of a sort of dance scene and stuff like that in Mexico? A dance scene?
I think it's part of our Latin culture. And I don't know about other people. I know about myself. And ever since baby, I would do it.
I think we're having a problem with our mics. Oh, there we are. Now I'm back on air.
Now we're back on air.
That sounds a bit better.
That does sound a bit
better. Were we before?
No, we were on air, but I wasn't. I don't think I was on air properly. So, yes. So, apologies,
so
listeners.
Apologies from Barb, who's not running the board very well.
Yeah, we were pressing the wrong buttons, but never mind.
And there was a blue light flashing too, and I couldn't figure out what the blue light was. So I was spending all the time focusing on the blue light. I've never seen it before.
The blue light means someone's ringing in to say, hey, someone can't hear. So thank you, whoever called in.
Interesting perspective, only answers, no questions.
It's like Jeopardy. Figure out what the questions are yourself.
Cool. So where were we?
So what was your family doing while you were locked away in your bedroom singing to disco tunes? Did they know what you were up to?
Oh, probably they were trying to find, to scheming a way into getting me into soccer playing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And we've heard that that was unsuccessful.
Yeah, no. After like 25 years in living in Mexico, I still don't get it. Like,
really?
A bunch of people running after a ball. But if it entertains someone, we'll go for it. Go crazy. But yeah, but I don't find it that
interesting. So you weren't into any sports as a child?
No, not really.
Yeah.
No.
Mm. And that still hasn't changed? You're not.
I was into Thalia.
Your sport was dancing behind closed doors, mouthing words.
Yeah, sexy ladies.
So you never ventured down the drag queen path anymore?
No, but sometimes I'm tempted, but I'm not sure if I could do it.
Uh-huh.
I'm not sure.
Oh, so you never tried?
Maybe
then.
Some other. Yeah. Maybe later on. Maybe.
Maybe after the show, hey?
We'll find a dress for me in life.
We'll find a dress from you in Enjoy Closet somewhere. There's got to be something we can get you to try on. So go back to your family. So are you an only child? Have you got a big family? Or?
I'm the oldest son. I have two sisters and a brother. They're all amazing, really wonderful people.
Uh-huh. And are they still in Mexico? Or?
Yeah, and I miss them so much. Uh-huh.
Will they come visit? Have they come to visit?
Well, they've been very busy. Since they're younger, they've been studying and working, so they haven't really got the chance. Mm-hmm. But I'm the one that goes there and visits.
Okay, cool. So the family, where your mother and father, what sort of work do they do? And what sort of, were they low working class?
My father is the one that worked, and my mom stayed at home. She worked before she married, but after that she took care of us
full-time, looking after you. Hey,
yeah, it's something that happens in Mexico quite a lot, especially back in those times. Nowadays there's a lot of couples that do work. Mm-hmm. Like,
and how about your father, what's he do for work?
At the moment he's working in a new project. Since I'm away, I can't really talk much about it, but I know that he's putting a lot of effort into this new project he has with some people.
Yeah, cool. So when you were living back home there, what was the neighborhood like? And
growing up.
Yeah, growing up.
Well, I grew up in a city that's very, very, very hot. It can almost reach 50 degrees or even higher.
Wow.
Yeah.
So at midday, there's no humans out.
No sane ones, anyway.
Yeah, but as children, we used to go out barefooted and run like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Asbestos feet, hey?
Yeah, we were quite lucky because it's a place where neighbors interact a lot. Uh-huh. So there's a very close bond to the people you live around. There's a sense of community. And we were lucky that we were on a block in a house that had a pool. So all the kids would
they were popular, hey?
All the kids would go to our house, even if we weren't there, and use it.
Mm-hmm.
They would ring the bell with everything ready, with their towels, and say, my mom, hey, we're here, let us in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're popular then, hey? Everyone wanted to be your friend.
More my brother. He was really? A popular one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I was very quiet. I didn't talk back then.
Really?
No, not much.
Oh, so
not like today, like doing radios, radio shows.
How people change, hey?
Yeah. I didn't talk much. I had wasn't very comfortable with my voice back then.
Okay. Well, we'll talk more to you after this break.
Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
And you're back on Orange Ribbon with Mark and Barb and our guest Rafa. And again, our number is 0427JOY949 is our SMS. onair@joy.org.au is our email if you want to ask any questions of Rafa. And somebody out there has asked a question of Rafa, yeah. Which, Max, we promise to get to your question.
We do indeed.
But first we want to find out from Rafa why he has chosen that particular track from Prince to play on Orange Ribbon today.
I love Prince, and this song has an amazing groove, yeah. I believe. It just blows my mind. There's this chorus when this it goes silent, but then you have this chorus that goes in a crescendo. I love it. I love every second of it. Such a dance song.
Yeah. So did you close your bedroom door to this one and mime the words as a child?
Well, this one I didn't find out back then about. I found that out at a later stage. Yeah.
So do you do that now then?
Yeah, I do. I did today, actually.
Yeah, and we should apologize for having to cut off Prince short as well, because it was a 7-minute track, and unfortunately, we need to talk to Rafa as well as listen to some music.
Yeah, my plan to get list time in the air didn't work, right?
Yes, no, it didn't. So we apologize to all Prince fans out there, but I'm sure you can go listen to it on YouTube somewhere. Full version. So, yes, we're back to talking to Rafa. So, Rafa, you tell us the story of how you decided, well, you decided to move to Australia and how you made the call as to being in Melbourne. You basically just looked for some schools and dropped yourself down here, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah, I did. Once I knew that it's Australia where I wanted to go, and there was always something that made me think about Australia. I had been doing that for a long time. So when I had the option of like choosing where to go, and New Zealand and Canada and Australia were the choices, I knew it should be Australia. When I got here, my plan before I got here, I didn't know anything about Melbourne. So I was getting here as a student. Mm-hmm. Didn't know any of the suburbs, so I had to just Google my way. Mm-hmm. So I looked for basically just some cheap school I could afford and a cheap hostel. I didn't have much money, and when I got here, I was just like, didn't know how I was gonna do it. It was a bit scary. My money wouldn't last for a long time.
Uh-huh. So that must have been a bit of sort of putting your trust in things just working out, basically, hey?
Yeah, well, it's part of the challenge, and I wanted to get out of my comfort zone and really have to move and find the things I need and really make it on my own. Uh-huh. And I was pretty confident with what I read about Melbourne, about Australia, and I thought I could find a way. And I wasn't expecting to get into an amazing place straight away. Uh-huh. I even told my friends, if I had to wash dishes on my first job, I'll be happy. I'll do it. That's what I want. And they would look like, to me, like with the weirdest look, like, why would you want to do that?
Yeah. Like, so is that experience. Is that what you ended up doing for your first job?
I did. Yeah. Not long though. Cause, I mean, luck, but I did for a while. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cool. So when you get off the airplane in Tullamarine, and did you know where you were even going to go from that point? Something?
Just knew about a place called St. Kilda, which is by the beach. The idea of water and the sea made it seem like a good place. So I just knew that name and just asked around, how do I get there?
Yeah?
Yeah.
And was your English good back then?
Yeah, well, having lived very close to the States, uh-huh, has helped a lot. And just at school and...
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I knew English before I came here. And yeah, that made it easier, because I know a lot of friends that are Colombian that come here without any English. It can be quite tough. Uh-huh. And usually they don't come by themselves. They have like a partner in crime.
And have you lived elsewhere in the world?
Yeah, I have, in Germany and Costa Rica.
Wow. Oh. So you
really... Two very different places.
Get yourself around.
Yeah.
You speak German as well?
Yeah, I do, but don't get me to... I won't talk right now, but yeah, I understand pretty well. Some, uh-huh, words I've forgotten, but, uh-huh, I could definitely give it a go.
Yeah. Excellent.
So what were you doing traveling in Germany and Costa Rica?
First time I was in Germany, I was there as an exchange student. Uh-huh. I went to a public school and lived with a German family.
All right. So how long were you there?
That was a year. But then I went a second time and worked there for another year.
Whereabouts in Germany was that?
That was in Düsseldorf. Huh. The second time and the first time in a small town close by.
So you did an exchange from sort of a city in Mexico to a small town in...
Yeah, I did. That was interesting. From a city of about 7 million people to a small town.
Yep. And how did you find that? How old were you when you did that?
Well, I was 15.
Yeah. So that's a sort of big life-changing move, I would have thought.
Yeah, it was one of the toughest, hardest experiences. It was challenging. And I think it gave me the tools to be able to, later on in life, do what I did moving here to Australia. Mm-hmm. Probably that's why I was just relaxed about it and just like, oh yeah, I don't know anything about it. Just get a plane and get there and find my way.
And at this point, were you out as a gay man?
At what point?
When you were traveling around the first time?
In school.
When I was 15?
Yeah.
I knew I was into men. Mm-hmm. I've always known, but back then I didn't know any. Or
that small town in Germany just wasn't the place to find them.
I think I looked, but no, it didn't happen. So I was happy just hanging out with the friends, just doing what teen people do.
And when
they did have a lot of sex, but yeah, but I wasn't getting any.
No. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Bless you.
I knew there was going to be a lot more in the future.
Save yourself for the future. Yeah. And have you told your parents?
Yeah, they know. They know about it. I've told them a while back. I told them when I was 19.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And is it a different sort of concept to come out to your Latino parents as opposed to in the Anglo world? Is it harder? Is it easier?
I think it is, because in the Latin world, we have to live a secret life that we keep away from our parents. Not just people that are of different sexual orientation, but even heterosexual people have to they don't talk about sleeping with their girlfriends, mm-hmm. boyfriends. A lot gets kept away from the parents in Mexico. Some parents suspect their children to be virgins until they marry, but they don't want to hear anything that's not in that picture.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So how did your parents take it when you told them something that they didn't want to hear?
Well, I have this belief that every parent knows their child, and if they have a gay son or a lesbian daughter, they'll know.
Yeah.
Right? From
most of the time, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Who knows you better than your family, the people that see you every day and get to see you grow? But I think it's always different once they hear the actual words,
because
you're taking the room for doubt away from them and just giving them the reality in their face.
Yeah.
Like a wagon that goes and hits them. So it was a bit hard for them to understand back then, and they're actually worried.
Yep.
I think parents worry a lot about their kids, even about silly things.
Yeah.
Like going out at night. Oh, you might get... Well, nowadays in Mexico, you can get shot, but back then it was like, oh, you might crash. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, they're just worried, and it took a bit of time for them to understand.
Yeah.
I don't know what the word is.
That place of accepting and understanding?
I think so, and it took time. First, I think my mom is the one that's been able to be more cool about it. And we can talk about when I'm in a relationship and how that relationship is going. It's always with the fathers that's a bit difficult.
Is that just the whole machismo thing?
Well, I think in every culture, because even my friends here have, a lot of them never talk about being gay with their father or about partners and couple. It's just, I don't know, it's just something about the dynamic between son and dad that doesn't really let that communication flow as easily. Because I also noticed, I went to the Queer Film Festival and I saw this movie about the reaction of a dad when he finds out his son is gay. And the movie was full of people, like incredibly full. So it made me think that we're all always drawn to it's like an enigma, like yeah. what goes through the mind of a father, and we might want to. I think we all have, like, it's always kind of easier with the mom, but not with the dad.
I think it can be like that, because I think the father, it just can be a bit too much, too close to reality. So things like, oh, my son is gay, he's not going to be the football jock that I brought up, and that sort of thing. There's probably a bit of an element to that as well, isn't it?
It probably is.
But they don't know what to say or how to handle, or I don't know. It's mm-hmm. just...
I've got to be honest, so with my dad, I thought it was going to be a bit like that at the beginning, but now he's completely accepting, and we talk about, like, he's just been over here and met my partner and stuff like that, and completely... normal, should we say. I don't know what, I hate using the word normal, but like average reaction. I mean, yeah, it was a bit, so I think we've got through that. But yeah, I think it's something, it takes the father maybe a bit longer sometimes.
Maybe. My dad was definitely better at it than my mother. Still, mm-hmm. if my father was still alive, he'd still be better at it than my mother still is, 20-some-odd
years
later.
Yeah, there's some dads that can go really well about it. Actually, my grandfather, he although he's like from way back, I mean grandfather, like such a different age where he grew in. Once we were watching a soap opera and this scene came with some lesbians, and everybody in the room started saying, just making bad remarks about it. And my grandfather said, "Hey everyone, we quiet. What's wrong with two people loving each other?"
Yeah.
Well, good on your granddad.
That was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, yeah.
Did you stand him and go, "Granddad, I'm gay"?
He was like, "Yo, what are you talking about? Why is this wrong? Why? It's just let them be. Yeah. Just so what's wrong with that?
Is a lot of that?"
And that was my grandfather. Yeah. It was pretty amazing.
So is some of that driven by sort of the religion side of things, do you think?
That... The acceptance when it comes to being homosexual?
The fact that they find it hard to... Is it because it's seen as a bad thing because Mexico being sort of quite Catholic? Or?
It can have a lot to do. It is a very religious country, and Catholicism plays a big role in social interactions and what's accepted. Mm-hmm. But it's also got to do with information not being out there for people.
Right.
Because, like I said, like... everything, the same that happens in Australia happens in Mexico, but people don't talk about it. It's a lot behind doors.
Yeah.
So that creates a mystery around it, and then people don't know what to think, and then they relate it to crazy ideas where being homosexual means that you wear women's clothes all the time, or relationships... They don't really know that it's the same.
Two people
it's
can
the
just
same.
Be in
the
love.
Relationship
yeah, yeah.
between a man and a woman, it's the same as woman and woman, man and man. I mean,
so is that sort of even if on TV and things like that, is it starting to get more sort of public that you see gay stars or gay soap opera stories and things?
Yeah,
like that?
It is. There's even channels that have. Shows produced entirely by homosexuals, and they're very popular in Mexico.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll come back to that after this break.
And we're back on Joy 94.9, and Rafa here has chosen a song, so we are going to put that on and then get right back to talk with him. So here's Erasure with Heavenly Action. And you're back on Orange Ribbon on Joy 94.9, Mark, Barb, and Rafa. So why that Erasure track, Rafa? Why would you pick that one?
I like Erasure a lot, and it's just a beautiful song.
It is a beautiful
really.
Song.
And I love him. Is it
Andy Bell?
Yeah, I love, especially, I mean, his voice, obviously, but also watching him perform.
Mm-hmm.
The way that man moves, I just find it amazing. Yeah.
So you emulated
YouTube,
that.
Everyone YouTube hit.
Yeah. So if you
need live performances.
I can see you in your bedroom behind the closed door trying to do Andy Bell moves.
I wouldn't be able to. Those moves are very special. Talia I did get, but Andy's on a different level.
You're still trying, hey?
Yeah.
So we had a message earlier on from Max, so we'll just read that out now because it's apt for where we're going to in the story. So he said he just returned from USA where he met a bi guy who was originally from Mexico. It's early days, but they talked about him moving to Australia. And Max asked, do you know any other Mexicans, gay or otherwise, here, and how the immigration was? So I suppose the first thing is, immigration-wise, I presume is fairly straightforward like any other country people are coming from?
Yeah, he should definitely come. I'll hook him up with some Mexicans. That's what the group's for.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll have friends as soon as he gets here.
Yeah.
I already had a guy come fresh from Mexico knowing about the group. He gave me a call almost the next 2 days he arrived.
Excellent.
So you say the group. Tell us a bit about the group because our listeners won't know what the group is.
The group is it's a social group for gay Spanish speakers.
Uh-huh.
And it's mainly made up by people that are new in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That want to start making friends, share that culture that makes us who we are, uh-huh. and that can become something we miss a lot. Because,
uh-huh.
I mean, we're so far away from where we are from in such a different culture.
Yeah. So what's the group called?
It's called amigosv.com.au. Well, that's the website, but it's just Amigos en Victoria.
Uh-huh.
Ah, yeah. That's the V.
Yeah.
I've been trying to figure it out. It's like it's Roman numer 5 or no, it's Victoria.
So this is a group that you've set up yourself, yeah?
Yeah, I did. I started out on my own.
Uh-huh.
When did you do that?
I did that, I don't know if it's been a year and a half or almost 2 years. It started out a bit different, though. It started out as a multicultural group for foreign gay men in Melbourne.
Okay. But now you've made it more specific to Spanish speakers.
Yeah, it kind of happened organically. I wanted it for it to be multicultural, but somehow the ones that stayed and the ones that kept coming were Latin. And I think there's a... Probably that's why, because I thought about a multicultural having gone through all the groups that existed, and I saw that they were very specific and that there was not something that could cater for many for people from different nationalities. My plan was ambitious, but I think maybe there's a reason why they are very niche. The Multicultural Gay Lesbian
Council,
they thought my idea was great and they're going to follow up. And they have a project about multicultural people,
mm-hmm.
and maybe they'll make it work. But for me, it was a bit hard sometimes. For example, I had one time where I had a Colombian that couldn't talk English,
mm-hmm.
and then we had a guy from Europe come in. We all had to switch into English, and he left because he couldn't talk.
Yeah.
And then sometimes people felt they were not being represented like they wanted. Like I could have maybe a guy from Asia, but then he would be amongst Colombians and Mexicans.
Right, yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
although I try to be welcoming and try to, and also it was kind of strange for everyone to have to change language.
Right. Yeah.
So it organically and it ended up being like Latin. Yeah.
Yep. So saying that, so how many have you got in the group now then? And so Max is asking, do we know if there are any other Mexicans there? By the sound of it, there are a few and probably not just Mexican.
Yeah, we have more Colombians, but there's 3 Mexicans.
Okay.
And I'm hoping to get more, so Max, come here.
And are you all men or do you welcome women into your group too?
We welcome women. I actually already had a woman write to me, but I think she might have disappointed that we don't have other women.
Yep.
But he has to start with one. One has to be brave.
Tell her to come along. You're a nice guy. You'll get on great.
Yeah.
And then she can bring on a friend, and then we can move on from there. Hey?
Yeah, and the guys were also very keen in having a girl come and join us.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's good to have female presence.
Yeah. And so how often does the group meet?
We meet quite a lot. Mm-hmm. We meet every Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Most groups meet like every 15 days or once a month. But we do it regularly. Like Monday nights are a night where we meet, and we also do things out of our normal meeting time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people, we have bonded and we're friends, so we might just ring each other or make plans outside, like the group official meeting.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Like before I came here, I had a call from one of them asking me for some help. So yeah, it's pretty relaxed and there's no rules. That's when it comes to Latin culture. We don't have all these rules, and we just like, yeah, whatever. Just call me whenever you want. It's just friends.
Much
yeah.
more event oriented than clock oriented. Sure, you'll meet on Mondays because that's what the diary says. But
yeah,
because
we
together
need to have
whenever you need each
we
other.
Need to have a meeting. So if case
new
we have
people,
new people
yeah.
come in,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so where do you meet on Mondays? So in case new people want to come.
I mean, there's the website where they can contact me.
Okay.
And we try to do different things. We might meet in the city or we might meet in St. Kilda. It depends on the weather and what we would like to do. So it's not always the same place.
Yep. So
we always get organized.
Really, the website is
like
really where they should
before.
Go to
yep.
find you.
So
yep.
again, what was the website address again? For
maybe one of you guys should say it. with your amazing pronunciation.
Okay. It's www.amigosv.com.au. Is that correct?
Yeah, thanks very much.
There we are. There we are. That's it in Welsh accent.
Although you want Spanish speakers, you don't want Welsh speakers. So perhaps your accent would have been the more appropriate one.
I could say it in Spanish.
Yeah, why don't you
yeah.
do that?
Actually, I'm pretty happy that MCV let me put the ad on there completely in Spanish. So,
uh-huh.
yeah, if Joy lets me.
Oh, please do. Right. Please
cool.
do.
So it's www.amigosvvchicacomenvaca.com.
Well, okay. There you go.
Luckily, we didn't understand you made the mistake there.
But all those Spanish speakers out there who wanted to join are madly writing it down, and they got it wrong the first time.
Yeah. And we'll put a link on our Facebook page as well, which is Orange Ribbon
cool.
at Joy, so people can find it from there.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the next event you've got coming up? Have you got anything planned for the group?
We really want to go on a trip during the weekend, but it's been a bit complicated because a lot of our members work during weekends because
yep.
mm-hmm. we have students.
Right.
Yeah, student life.
Yeah. So that when you say
work, study, work,
you mean
study
at the
all
pub?
The time. Just at the pub.
Yeah.
You know, well, some of them work as waiter, as bar people.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I meant like work. Like
yeah, yeah.
Work cool. for the money.
Oh, well.
So what events have you done that have been very popular?
Well, what event? Because it was fun when we went to Daylesford.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because we
nice
got
there.
To get out of the
yep.
out of Melbourne. Mm. It rained, but but it was, and we wanted to camp, but since it rained, we came back. But it was still a good event.
So we're having another break, I think.
Yes, we are. And we'll be back for our final wrap-up with Rafa and then the news. Back here on Orange Ribbon, Joy 94.9. And we've got Rafa for 4 more minutes or thereabouts before we come back with the news. What do you want to ask him, Mark?
Well, before I ask him anything else, just want to read out a message. We've got a question or a message from Marcos. It says, "Oh, Rafa, nice to hear you on Joy." So that sounds like someone you know, hey?
I think so. I think he's a guy from Brazil. Hey, Marcos.
Oh, really?
¿Cómo estás? He can talk Spanish. So.
That's good. We can't put a translation of the whole show up, unfortunately. But
so you welcome the Portuguese as well?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, but they have to remember that we will talk in Spanish. That will
yep.
be our communication. But uh-huh. but Brazilians, I know a lot that good with Spanish.
Yep. Uh-huh. And do you have people
we're not
from
good
Spain
with Portuguese,
as well?
Unfortunately.
Do you have people from Spain as well, or is it mostly Latin American Spanish?
I haven't met many people from Spain here in Melbourne. Mm-hmm. No, so we at the moment we don't have anyone from Spain, but would be great though.
So is there any sort of specific issues that the Spanish community have when they come over here that you find everyone has in common?
Well, first of all, they face the same difficulty everyone else does, which is being in a place where they don't know anyone, and that can be very lonely. But as specifically to the Latin community, I think people could have a hard time like getting used to the way the social interactions in this country are a bit different to ours. So some of the guys have a bit of an issue, like, finding their way, like, when it comes to, like, when to call people, how to make plans with people, what to expect when you're making plans. Because people here, it's different.
Yeah, so, and you bring them together
it's
and...
It's about, yeah, it's a bit, that's the issue, I mean, because, I mean, there's not, it's more about, like, cultural differences.
Yeah. So what they'd expect to happen back home just happens differently.
Yeah, and then they're and then left wandering and clueless and sometimes might take things personal. Okay. But it's just difference. Mm-hmm. And it takes time for being able to know, to know like, how things work. And
it's so good to have a cultural bridge where you're walking people from their cultural world into a more Anglo-Australian cultural world. Because if you don't have a bridge... You can't just figure it out.
No.
You need somebody to help you to change help you to change your mindset.
Yeah.
And that's terrific that you found that you can do this for people.
Well, I have some insights because I've been here for 4 years and I was in a relationship with an Australian for most of it. Mm-hmm. So many Australian friends, big group of Australian friends.
And then do you sort of, through that group, then get people interacting with the wider community as well, sort of thing? Once they join your group and get familiar within Amigos V, then they feel more comfortable to start exploring more of Australia.
Well, they're very adventurous, most of them, and they're making friends, and some of them have been here for a longer time, so they know how it all works. What they appreciate more about this is that a good friendship is offered.
Awesome. Well, I think that's the end of the show, unfortunately. So thank you very much for coming in today, Rafa.
And we're going to turn it over to the news desk, but thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.